ESPN.
Friday night, Dapplebox. They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, what are the books? Two to go. Second hour of the show. We call it the Press Box, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM. As we talk about news of the day from last night, it started with the Pistons getting the number one pick, but the Rockets, thankfully, getting the number two pick in the NBA draft, so they keep it. And that is big, as the draft lottery happened last night and all of the spots were set, as now every team can prepare for next month's draft. I know that the Chicago pre-draft camp is going on as we speak, so lots of draft, potential draft picks are being poked and prodded and analyzed and forced to jump and probably wear a lot of the clothes that we were talking about in the gym. The Boston Celtics are going to hire Nets assistant coach Ime Udoka, a former Spurs player and a longtime assistant under Greg Popovich, as Nick reported. The Astros did it again. Was a little bit closer and tighter than I think people expected. You had Grinke on the mound. He was once again fantastic, doing exactly what you expect him to do now as he continued to roll. But of all people, at the scene of the crime, Nick, the place where he got his first ever major league home run and hadn't homered again until earlier this week, he does it again. Miles Straw with two hits, including a home run. And the Astros find a way to win 3-1.
Unfortunate for him that he wasn't quite sure that it was a home run, because I guess it hit like somebody in like the first or second row and then it kind of bounced back. So it kind of looked like it bounced off the wall. And so he wasn't sure it was a ground rule double or whatever the case may be. But look, good for him. He got the home run. And look, that's what we expect from Miles Straw, I would imagine. You're not going to get a two-hit, one-home-run game out of Miles Straw every other day. I mean, if you get it once a week, I feel like it's fair at this point, because it would still be an improvement from what he had been prior to him going on like this streak. That's somewhat of a streak of him doing well. So I'm not mad at Miles Straw getting a home run, because sometimes that tells me that if he's doing well, maybe the rest of the team is doing well. But
well, look, they're out of roll. Uncle Mike is just a hitting machine, and people think, well, your outfielders have to hit for power. You know what? He might not hit home runs, but he hits plenty of doubles and extra base hits. But the fact that he's getting you multi-hit game after multi-hit game,
that's all you want.
He was 2-for-4. You know, everybody, they're pushing all the right buttons. Yuli again, 2-for-4. I mean, Brantley's hitting .353. Gurriel's hitting .325. And then the guys that you wouldn't expect to step up continue to step up. Straw, as we mentioned, had two hits. Chaz had another knock. I mean, Garcia had a hit. So when Dusty's pushing the buttons, because again, you know how I feel about when they're rolling and all of a sudden Correa's sitting. And I'm like, why do we keep doing this? And I get it, it's 20 games in a row. But when you're rolling, and a lot of the time you're rolling with big leads, there's not a lot of high leverage situations. Just keep putting them out there.
And it doesn't help that the Orioles suck so bad. The fact that the Houston Astros are going on this run and now in the middle of a series of a team that's just absolutely terrible. And the Baltimore Orioles, 23-50. 12-25 at home. And are you going to lay off Brooks Raley a little bit? He got two strikeouts in the, seventh?
I was holding my breath for both of them.
Or eighth inning, I think.
Yeah, he came in. Grinke went 7 1/3. Raley got came in 2/3 of an inning. And I'm telling you, it wasn't like he was mowing them down with a high-power fastball. And they were up in the zone. And I was holding my breath. But to his credit,
he got through it.
He got two strikeouts. He did what he had to do. Nick, and you can ask me that question, and I would counter it by saying, you know what I'm really happier about, Nick? His ERA dropped below 6. It's now 5.93.
Hey, it's a step in the right direction. It's a step in the right direction.
Boy, Presley looks good.
Presley got he got his 11th save and 12 tries.
Yep.
So, I mean, Presley's doing what he's supposed to do. If Brooks Raley is, I mean, it's almost a good problem to have, but if Brooks Raley shows some consistency, you don't think so? Ever?
I don't say ever, but you got Blake Taylor. And I know Dusty just gets enamored with trust in Brooks Raley. But Blake Taylor has looked better and better. And you know that there's help on the way. It's coming from a lot of different places. But, you know, you're looking at some guys that are going to come back. And I don't know what Paredes' deal is and if he's going to find it. I told you I don't want to see Abreu the rest of the damn year.
Right.
But I think that, you know, we have to figure out where is Baez and is he going to be a contributor? But you have a lot. You have other pitchers that are going to be available to you, too. So you've got to figure it all out. But that's why I said, look, this team continues to just, I don't even say overachieve. They're proving to the rest of the world what we were hopeful of, which is the best way to erase all the controversy on the trash can banging. It's just win and offensively doing what they're doing.
Yeah, winning. It's going to be winning a World Series. Having a good season or a good run in the playoffs is not going to be enough, unfortunately. Not for this team.
But to be top five in almost every offensive statistical category.
It's a massive thing. It's a great thing.
That kind of can stifle a whole lot of the whole cheaters talk from the trash cans because they got no help. They're not using any of that, and they're knocking the cover off of it. Starting pitching. And again, we had mentioned this, and I said over this stretch, it was key to go to the six-man rotation. So far, so good, because again, we're not talking about a five-inning start and trying to scramble for a couple. It's okay if Raley comes in for two-thirds of an inning.
Right, yeah.
But I don't want to see Raley for an inning, inning and a half. I don't want to see anyone other than Javier and Presley, if I can help it, maybe a little Stanek, and even still I hold my breath.
But that's the way Dusty operates sometimes. If you just show just a little bit of success, you're afforded a little bit longer of a leash. Temporarily, at least. And you know how patient he is with players. I feel like he's probably one of the more patient players in the league just because of his style and everything else. But, yeah, I'm with you.
Urquidy tonight, 6-10 start. Urquidy's 5-3, 3.65. Again, nothing to complain about with Urquidy. I mean, your future's bright regardless. But when you think about under team control at a very reasonable salary with the rotation going forward, you got to imagine, unless Greinke gives you a hell of a deal, that Greinke and Verlander's contracts come off the books, which means you should have a lot of money to play with because you got Urquidy, and you got Javier, and you got Fromber, and you've already signed Lance, so regardless if he's making more money than them or not, he's still reasonable enough that he's going to be – there's four straight starters there. Odorizzi's under contract for another year. There's your fifth starter. Now you don't even have to worry about Greinke.
Now let's talk about your boy Mattress Mac.
Can we please?
Did he drop another $2 million?
He did, with the chance to win $22 million. He put $2 million on the Astros yesterday to win it all.
Look, I guess he knows what he's doing, and if it's anybody that got the dough to do it, it's Mattress Mac, but I don't know. I don't know if this is the year to make that. It's a $22 million payout, you said, on the $2 million bet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Made a $2 million bet, and with the odds that he got, he's got a chance
to win.
10-1. He's got a chance to win 20. Yeah. So the I pulled the story, but I had also seen it on television. Could win $22 million on the Astros to win the World Series this year. He's not afraid. He did it with Caesars Entertainment. It would be the biggest reported potential payout in U.S. sports betting history if it happens. There's another reason to get the bullpen right now, Nick. Because you owe it to Mattress Mac. This man is a legend. He has been here for the city of Houston. It's time for the Astros to be here for him.
Well, if you count the, I think it was $3.5 million that he won when he placed a bet on the Tampa Bay Bucks to win the Super Bowl, that puts him still up, what, 1.5? So he probably just got that $2 million from the $3.5 million that he won when he placed the bet on Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. So
Astros have the fifth best odds to win it all, trailing the Dodgers, White Sox, Padres, and Mets. Haven't seen the Mets yet, split with the Dodgers, swept the White Sox, should have at least won the series against the Padres. So again, they don't scare me. None of those teams worry me. It's just getting right in your own house. If you just make sure your bullpen gets a couple more arms, this team can play with anybody, and Mac's got a fighting chance.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not mad. Mattress Mac could put a bet on anything, and I'm never going to be mad at it. I mean, he's won. He's got the money. He's a legend here. So absolutely, do it. He doesn't care. And in other Astros news, they have officially activated Kyle Tucker off the IL today.
Can we get a weigh-in? Because he said he lost over 10 pounds.
You told me that, was it yesterday or the day before?
Yeah,
I haven't seen him. I don't know. Hopefully that's not from like an illness, because that sounds bad. But he's activated off the IL, and Garrett Stubbs was optioned to Sugarland after last night's game.
Oh, Stubby. That's okay. He's a little catcher that could, and he plays wherever they need him. But you know what? They're even getting healthier. That means they could get better.
again, this offensive lineup, when you get Bregman back, you're getting Tucker back, it could even get better. That's the beauty of all this. That's why you go strengthen the bullpen. I hate to harp and just keep, but I'm going to until they do something because it's on Click and Crane. And if nothing else, your biggest sponsor, Mattress Mac, needs you too.
Yeah, that would be fantastic if he won that payout. Man, oh if God. The Astros win the World Series and he wins 22 mil, my God.
Can you imagine the party he'd throw?
Does he still throw parties?
You know, the cool thing is he does so much at the showroom where, like, if anybody's stranded with, you know, flooding or anything that's going on, he lets them come into the showroom and sleep on the mattresses and you know, and he feeds them all the time. He just does. He's such a great humanitarian for the city. I said, you know, we kidded last time we had him on, but if he ran for mayor, he'd win in a landslide.
I think he would, too. I think he would, too, just because he's so known. But I hope you get that $22 million. And if you lose, I'm not going to lie. I don't feel sorry for you too much, Mattress Mac. You got it. You got this.
Because you know what, Nick? Even if he doesn't, all you got to do is, come on, down to 45 North, exit Tidwell Park, both ways. No, back, order, some spot today. Get it tonight. Gallery really will save you money. It's going to save you money. You're going to buy from Gallery. He'll make it up one way or the other. $2 million, that's a pretty hefty bet, though.
That's a lot of money, man.
Woo, baby.
But if I won that, I would just retire with the $22 million. I'd probably retire off of two. I wouldn't spend it, right? I'd probably have to go back to work because I'm not really good with money management. But $22 million, that's all I need. That's all I need. Look at Matt Maloney. Didn't he make about that much? And he's still.
Don't mess with my boy.
Matt Maloney, he has one of the worst contracts the Houston Rockets have ever given was to Matt Maloney. Ever. One of the worst Houston contracts in the city of Houston over all three sports. Is that fair to say?
I would counter with Kelvin Cato.
I would counter with Brock Osweiler.
Not bad. Are you trying to do the Mount Rushmore, or is three enough?
Is there another one that we could throw in there? I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Ed Reed, but it wasn't that big of a deal. He was just a bust. Yeah, I don't know if there's another one.
Matt Maloney got paid way too much money.
Yeah, he did, but why way too much? He started 82 games. He was the only player to do so on the team that made a long playoff run. It wasn't his fault that they offered him the deal. What
it's
are you going to say?
It's not his fault.
Yeah, you're going to pass on it? And then they elongated it and gave him more as long as they could stretch it out. Kelvin Cato, on the other hand, had a triple-double in a preseason game and cashed in on $40-some million dollars of suck. I digress. Second hour continues to roll on. Lots more to get to. We can talk about this Max Scherzer situation with Joe Girardi that happened last night, as well as a couple others where pitchers weren't exactly too pleased to be being checked for sticky situations. That and a whole lot more. Stay right where you are. It's the Press Box ESPN.
ESPN. 97.5.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Boy, you guys, we didn't even actually plan to do that, but we were talking about the worst contracts in Houston sports history.
And then I Google search something, and then Jermaine Every's article on SportsMap, and it says the five worst contracts in Houston sports history. And he basically listed everyone that we thought about.
Who did he have?
We didn't mention Amon Green. But Carlos Lee at 5, Kelvin Cato at 4, Brock Osweiler at 3, Matt Maloney at 2, and then Amon Green at 1, because apparently Amon Green got a 4-year, $23 million deal from the Houston Texans.
Bad, but it's not really bad.
Like, I guess I think
Ryan Anderson.
Yeah, I guess because he wasn't such an impact player. But you're right, $20 million a year was absolutely ridiculous for Ryan.
Think about that, $20 million for Ryan Anderson.
That's
now you were pissed off at Maloney, which was 7-17.
I was.
So at least when that averages out, $7 million, 17 years, so a little over 2 a year. Not that bad.
Well, this is the 90s when he got that deal.
But Ryan Anderson, you're talking 25 years ago. $20 million a year to miss shots.
You're right. I would say the Ryan Anderson contract is far worse than Matt Maloney. There's no debate there. There's no debate. To me, I think Ryan Anderson should be on this list probably at number one, to be honest with you. I mean, I think it's a worse contract than Matt Maloney. I think it's a worse contract than Kelvin Cato. Well, Carlos Lee at 6 years, $100 million.
That's the one that I had pulled out because that it was one thing to have I said Carlos Lee in the break because it was one thing to have the contract itself. Then he had like a no trade.
Right.
And then he actually sucked. So it was like it just kept on being the gift that kept on not giving.
Yeah. And just the number, $100 million. Ugh. Brock Osweiler was 37. So I guess if you just want to look at it from a monetary standpoint.
How many years?
That Osweiler got? Yeah. I forgot what it was.
Because you know,
$37 million guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't it like, was it 6 years?
I think it was.
No, it had to be more, shorter than that. Maybe 4 years. Regardless, think about, you said Brock Osweiler had $37 million. That's 2 years of Ryan Anderson, Nick.
That's 72
in 2 years.
4 years, $72 million with 37. Yeah, I think he wins.
Yeah, Brock's, yeah.
I think he wins.
I thought it was 30. If it's 72, you're right.
Well, even Ryan Anderson made more than that, right?
Ryan Anderson was 20 a year for
like three, four years.
Yeah,
so he might have made more.
I would believe that Ryan Anderson's the worst possible contract. Now, Dr. Dre on 290 has an honorable mention. The fact that with as much as Eric Gordon was just blech, up and down, the fact that they extended him at 18 a year for 4 or 5, that was also terrible painful.
God,
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a lot, and it's just crazy to me, you know, if you're a guy like a general manager or an owner, and you're just, that's all you do for a living. You sign these contracts, you review them, you go through them, and it's all these numbers that are so significantly high. And those are the type of money, that's the type of money and type of numbers you deal with on a daily basis. This is what you do for a living. It's just hard for me to imagine.
Fake Tony Stark says, how are we going to view Verlander if he never pitches again? You can't, because you know what he did? He got you a World Series.
Right.
Without him, they don't win that World Series.
Are you mad at Verlander if he doesn't go back?
You can't be.
I'm not mad at him.
No.
At all.
Because as much as it didn't end the way you wanted it to end.
Doesn't matter.
It got done what you needed to get done. And that's the main thing. He brought the first World Championship in baseball to the city. You can't be mad at him.
No, I'm not mad at Verlander. Whatever he wants to do. Whatever he wants to do. Look, J.J. Watt could leave and not win a Super Bowl. And I get, you know, what he did for the city and all the stuff off the field and all that other stuff. But there should be no hate for Justin Verlander. I don't see where that would come from. So unless you're a transplant.
So did you see all of this crap with the it's annoying, all the sticky checks by the umpires now. Because first of all, and someone had tagged us on a tweet last week where there's the security guy that really doesn't want to be a security guy that's supposed to be checking people as they go into a concert and he barely touches them. That's what the umpires for the most part are doing. They're looking at the hat real quick, throw it back. Look at the glove real quick. Okay, let me see the inside of the belt real quick. You could have it on the back of the belt. You could have it. They're not doing like investigative searches or thinking. They're just letting you go.
Yeah.
It's like trying to get in a club on a Friday night. You paid your cover and you actually look good. Get in. I'm not checking you.
Here's the thing I would tell umps, though, about this, like doing the inspections. They get yelled at all the time. They don't like to be disrespected. And a lot of the reviews that I saw, the player would approach them and just, you know, throw their belt or their gloves on the floor. And the ump is going to find that disrespectful.
You're right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. He's not going to react the same way when you do that. So, like, you can't get mad at the ump. If the ump is being told to do the inspection, you can't get mad at the ump. The other thing is, I think it makes it more likely for them not to check it as thorough because they're almost embarrassed by the fact that they have to pick up the glove off of the floor when you threw it down, you threw your belt down. They don't want to be as thorough because they're already aggravated with you because you're throwing stuff at them for a job that they have to do.
Yeah, they're the parent that has to clean up their kid's room when you throw it on the ground. You're right. So if you missed it, Sergio Romo last night in the milder of the two episodes decides to not only, as Nick pointed out, throw the hat, throw the glove, but rip the belt off the pants and then depant and pull the pants down to the ankles, to which the umpire was not pleased at all.
That's me at the Bush Airport. That's what they make me do at the airport all the time.
You have a Bush Airport when you pull your pants down? I don't understand.
Why did you twist it?
You go
why
through security and depant?
They can make
you drop your pants?
I mean, they don't make you drop your pants, but it's borderline that. I mean, they run your fingers across, you know what?
Whoa!
Yeah, I've told you this story five times.
It never ceases to, like, disturb me. They can't do that.
Yeah, they can. They absolutely can. This happened to me on three separate occasions.
Did they ask you if you had a prosthetic?
But he throws the glove. He throws the cap. You can see that the ump is absolutely aggravated by the situation. And embarrassed. And you know what? If you start throwing stuff on the floor, particularly where there's dirt, could they use that as a place to, like, kind of hide things? Because if it's sticky, can't you get some of that dirt on top of the sticky stuff?
Sure.
So it's like, can't you hide? Like, they should be not allowed to throw that stuff on the floor. When you come in for an inspection, you should not be allowed to throw a glove or a cap or anything on the floor. You have to hand it to the umpire.
I thought about it last night when it happened. And like I said, and Romo, Sergio Romo was the tamer of the two. Max Scherzer, here's the other problem Major League Baseball is going to have. Evidently, what we didn't know was the competing manager can ask you to be checked at any time. I thought that they were saying that they were just limiting it to at the end of an inning or when a relief pitcher gets done pitching or at the start of an inning before a start or when they're coming off the field. Joe Girardi last night of the Phillies checked Max Scherzer three times, including after a strikeout in the middle of an inning, multiple times. Obviously, Scherzer was getting annoyed, and then he had words with Girardi. And then Girardi actually came out of the dugout and said, "Do you want some?"
Yep.
Like they were going to fight. And they tossed him eventually. But then in the press conference, Girardi said, "Well, I've never seen him touch his hair and go to his head as much as he did last night. And so I had suspicions."
Yeah, and he addressed that. Scherzer said, "Dude, like, the only way I could get any type of sweat on my hands was running it through my hair." So, like, he basically was doing that on purpose, I guess, because he didn't have any sticky stuff. The thing is I think the problem between the two is they know each other, right? So, like, why would you ask him to be inspected when you've been a part of this game and you've had players that's played for you that has this the sticky substance? I think that's what Max was really upset with. You know what I mean? Like, why are you calling me out now? And then when he mean mugged them after that strikeout, it didn't, you know, it added fuel to the fire and it didn't help the situation. But
so then Mike Rizzo, the GM of the Nationals, has come out today and said that Girardi is a con artist. He's been doing it for years on TV. He said he loves Girardi and he scouted him at Northwestern and knows him well and emphasized, "I know him well." But he said Girardi was purely using gamesmanship and he should have known better. I like what Clayton Kershaw said last night. And he's a guy that's been questioned a lot about his hat and about the stuff that he uses. But he said, "Hey, if the manager on the other team decides to question you and ask for that extra check, if it checks out that he wasn't using anything, there should be some sort of ramification on the manager then. You lose one of your replay challenge abilities."
Really?
Or something, yeah.
You think so?
Because three is a lot.
So there should be a max, you think?
Yeah, I think there should be a limit.
That's fine. I can agree with that. But the whole punishing someone for being wrong, you know what I mean? Well, I guess that happens in instant replay, right? If you're right, you don't lose your timeout. But if you're wrong, you lose your timeout. So I guess there is some sense to what you're saying there.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting as we continue to get more and more into this because it's kind of a work in progress, just like the fact that they decided to break it on baseball in the middle of the season, which I don't think is right. But I think it's just getting started. And now you're going to hear more and you're going to see more. And when you get the first pitcher that gets caught, it's going to be a big deal. So it's going to be interesting as we go forward to see how it continues to play out. But I do know one thing, Nick. Gerrit Cole had his lowest spin rate in a long, long time last night.
Please work with us. Please.
I'm not quite sure how to answer that. I got a lot of money, and I listened to my elders, and someday we'll find it. The Rainbow Connection. The lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Back with more Press Box Eastman.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back on the box. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show as we roll on. I got another neat little story for you, Nick. So Javier Bracamonte is the bullpen catcher for your Houston Astros. Long time known as a good dude. Actually married a really, really nice lady from the longtime Rockets television crew. And everybody raves about, he always gives souvenirs in the stands from the baseballs and things like that. But thanks to Mark Berman, I stumbled on this the other day, and it's worth, even though it's a day or two old, it's worth getting to because it's really cool. So as the story goes, you know, Bracamonte not only is, you know, a generous guy in terms of what he does for the fans and the different ballparks when they're traveling, but he also likes to try and take care of fans back in his native Venezuela. I mean, players. So he's got relatives that are still back there, including his sister. Well, it turns out that as he has through the years sent baseball equipment and other things back home to help these kids in Venezuela, that around the time, a couple years ago, his sister said, hey, I need some cleats for a player who needs a size 12. And he was thinking to himself, there's no way. In Venezuela, the biggest size you ever need in a cleat is 10 or 10 and a half. But I found the shoes, and I sent them to my sister. And then I found out last year they were for Luis Garcia.
That's crazy.
He said, the connection is my sister went to college for 5 years with Luis Garcia's mom. They're both social workers. Luis knew that it was me that gave him the shoes, but he never wanted to say anything about it. My sister later told me, and then I asked Luis, and he said he knew, but he didn't want to say anything. How cool of his, and his sister said, now, I better take care of Luis because he's pitching for the Astros. It's hard to believe, but it happens. You never know who you're helping. It's a great deed. It's a great,
that's a cool story. That's a cool story. So he didn't know the whole time that he sent these shoes to his sister, and his sister was ultimately giving it to Luis. Yeah, that's a cool story.
And then Garcia makes the roster, and he knows who Bracamonte is and what he's
and doesn't
done,
say anything.
But doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
Very, very neat story. So
it is a neat story.
With you guys.
I saw the tweet by Mark Berman not too long ago, but I didn't follow up with it until you brought it to my attention right now. But
couple other things off the text line. So when I was saying who would be dumb enough to run against Mattress Mac, and then I thought about it, Tony Busby.
Oh, I mean, he loves the attention.
Boy.
If you look at his I follow him on Instagram. He loves the attention.
It's one thing to take pot shots at Deshaun and Rusty or say you don't know the Texans or Cal. It's another thing if you start taking pot shots at Mattress Mac, because now there's a whole lot of Houstonians that are going to be pretty pissed off.
Oh, yeah. I could see, like, people literally jumping a dude for Mattress Mac. Like, I could see if he ever got messed with.
I don't disagree with that.
I think people would literally jump you if you mess with them. I know he got his car broken into, like, a couple years ago or something like that, and that wasn't cool. Hopefully he got the... He got what was coming to him.
There's been a lot of that, too, though.
Manny Pacquiao's getting another fight against our boy, Errol Spence Jr. This time not in Dallas, though.
But why is Manny Pacquiao still fighting?
Because he can make them paychecks and he can still compete with some of the young bloods.
What is he, like 90?
He's probably like 42, 43,
no,
I would imagine.
He's older than that. Come on.
He is 42.
Okay.
1978. 42 years old.
You paying to see that? Errol Spence Jr. should just absolutely just annihilate him.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Is he different since the car accident? Otherwise, I think Errol Spence in his prime is going to...
Well, he already got the win after the car accident. He had to.
I know, but in your opinion, is he at least, did he lose anything from the car accident?
No, I don't think so. I think Errol Spence Jr. is still young. It did, the initial reports of that accident, and if you saw the video, you would have thought he died.
Yeah.
You would have thought he died. Like,
absolutely
seriously.
Right.
I think it was either a Maserati or a Lamborghini. It was some exotic car that he was in, and he was traveling at very high speeds. The initial report said this could be career ending. So I thought he was done, but he bounced back. He got back in the gym, and apparently he's a lot more appreciative of life. But no, man, Manny Pacquiao on a three-fight winning streak. Keith Thurman is a game opponent. Adrian Broner, I don't find him to be a game opponent, but he beat him, and he's younger than him. So,
okay.
Well, I mean, that is official. It will be at T-Mobile Arena in August.
In Vegas?
Correct.
Okay.
So it's going to be a fight. Hopefully I get to go to that fight.
Well, I would like you to go then, too. If that's where you want to be, Nick, in life, that's where I want you to be.
You should go, too.
I'm fine with that.
You have to leave the kids and Lisa behind.
No, yeah, I know. I understand that. But I think that, when is it?
August 21, I believe.
Ooh, Taylor's birthday is the 26th.
But Grandma, you'll be back. You'll be back in time.
Okay, because Grandma and Grandpa will be here for that period of time, too. So then Lisa has help with the kids. So that's good.
That is good.
Yeah.
Did you see Alex Caruso go to jail for marijuana?
Mm-hmm. In Texas, no less.
Well, I assume he was at College Station because it was the Texas A&M police that clocked him. Isn't it crazy? You play for a team in Los Angeles where you're absolutely allowed. Now, as an NBA, you're not allowed to do it regardless. But if you wanted to do it legally without getting caught, you can go to California, random dispensary, no problem. But then you go back home to your home state, boom, you get hit with two charges. He gets charged with possession of marijuana for it being under 2 ounces, and then he gets charged for paraphernalia for having a grinder on him as well before boarding a plane and TSA catches him. So,
evidently, he wasn't as popular as he thought he was going back to hang out at College Station for a while because using the College Station, I guess, A&M airport and thinking that he could just throw it in a duffel bag and it's all good. And yet they find it and then they press charges.
I know this sounds terrible, but I can see somebody forgetting it in their bag. Like forgetting that it's in their bag.
Really?
That's a bad. Who was it? Was it Rashard Lewis or was it TJ Ford? Somebody got busted with at the airport and he didn't know.
Well, what about D'Angelo Russell that was using that sneaky little hide it in it looks like a iced tea can? Remember we talked about those?
Oh yeah. Those like
devices.
Hidden, yeah, those are great.
Yeah, it looks like a soda can, but it's got a screw bottom on it where you can hide the weed.
Now they have even better ones. They have like the 20-ounce cola ones, and they actually put brown fluid in it, so it looks like it's a full bottle of Coca-Cola. And now I feel like I'm educating. Although I feel like the police
want to get a catalytic converter, you go to a freaking stop and park and ride. And if you want to hide the weed, we'll help you out.
But police are supposed to educate themselves about all those hiding things. Like they go to these smoke shops and stuff.
Evidently, that's why they grazed by your penis.
No, that was TSA.
They thought you had weed.
He points at a monitor.
Sir, is that a joint? No, sir, it's mine.
The a-hole put... Okay, I'm not going to call him an a-hole.
But you just did.
Okay, he's an a-hole. He points at the monitor, and he goes, "You see that big red circle over there?" I'm like, "Yeah." And you just see a big red circle right around my area. Just on the screen. And I'm like, "Yeah, I see the circle. I don't see anything in it, bro." He's like, that's why we have to check you, buddy. Do you want to do it here, or do you want to do it in a private room? I'm like, "Nah, if you're going to violate me, do it in the public. I want everybody to see."
Oh, you're that proud of it.
I mean, I wasn't going to go to a private room. I wanted to get on the plane, dude. I didn't care.
Wow.
I didn't care.
They
I just wanted to
circled
get on
the, it.
Well, yeah, the machine puts like this red circle, and it basically tells TSA where to inspect.
What set it off?
I don't know. They didn't find anything.
A little dust in the tighty-whities?
I don't know.
Wow. Okay. Well, Caruso, evidently, and he's a free agent. This isn't going to help him in terms of his pursuit of a new contract.
Why if you really want Alex Caruso on your squad, why are you looking at this situation? Like,
teams are going to ask, do you have a problem?
With what?
Do you have a problem with marijuana?
No, I don't think that's the case.
Believe me, Nick. Teams over-investigate things these days.
He's 27. He's from Texas A&M. And, like, he probably, you know, was trying to let off some steam, went back home to his roots, chilled. Maybe he drank a little bit. Maybe he didn't. I mean, you're right. I don't disagree with you. I just don't think you should look at this situation and be like, you know what? I'm not going to sign this guy.
Not saying that teams won't sign him, but they're definitely going to question him on it. It's going to come up. It has to.
But remember, they don't test for, that's right. That's a good point by Todd. Either they don't test for it or they limited the number of tests. Remember, because that came out during the pandemic because they were trying to save money with all the COVID tests as well. That they stopped testing or they limited the number of tests on for marijuana specifically.
I told Todd this in the chat, and I've said this to you before on the air. When I for the longest time when I was working in the league, the veterans could only be tested once a year. So they were on their best behavior until they knew that the security man asked for the P test. And once they passed it, they couldn't be tested the rest of the year. And they just went to town.
I would want to get it done like sooner rather than later. Like, do this before the All-Star break so I can enjoy the rest of the year doing whatever the hell I want.
Yeah, it was definitely a party once they had been tested and passed because they knew that they couldn't be tested. Now I think with suspicion and or if you've been tagged in the past and rung up for it, they can test you more often. And I think they can do the random tests a lot more. So, I mean, I think it's changed a little bit. I haven't seen the latest collective bargaining agreement.
It's so stupid to impact somebody's career over that. That's just so dumb to me. That is so dumb. Don't mess with someone's career over that.
But aren't you dumb for doing it if you know it could mess with your career?
Well, yes, because at the end of the day, that's not allowed. And if you're an NBAer and you're getting paid millions of dollars, I get it. You know the rules. You signed up for this. I get it. But just because you signed up for something doesn't mean, like, I just don't feel like you should be, your career should be impacted. You know what I mean? I think they should lay off the rules a little bit, or at least make them
a rules are rule. It's like baseball. I mean, if you got all these rules, you got to enforce them.
You do. You do. I mean, but I just don't, like, you smoking a blunt or a joint is not going to help you make a three-pointer, bro. It's not.
It's off-season, too.
You're not going to dunk better because you smoked. You're not. It's not performance enhancing in my mind. Not on the not on a basketball court, at least.
Now, NFL guys will tell you that it's recovery enhancing.
Well,
and we've had this
we've had this conversation. I'm okay with it reducing a little bit of anxiety and maybe some minor pain. Once it comes down to significant injuries, broken legs, torn ACLs, that stuff doesn't work.
Right, it's different.
It doesn't help you with anything.
But when they're talking about the consistent soreness that you get from week to week.
I can see that.
There are players that have said it. There's no doubt that it helps you recover and get ready for the following week.
I'm a big fan of the lotion.
In the circled red area?
THC lotion.
In the TSA area?
No.
Okay.
I'm just saying. It helps.
Athletes, I mean, if you put lotion down there, maybe it's not red circled. I don't know what triggered the I can't believe you triggered the machine.
Multiple times. On three separate occasions.
You got metal in the implant?
I have no idea. What implant you talking about? Maybe in my horn. I don't know.
No, I don't think that's the horn they were inspecting. They didn't graze that. They didn't graze by that with the rubber glove. They grazed by the other one. All right, we're going to continue to roll on with hour number two of the three-hour program. Lots more to get to. If you guys want to join the show, HRP listener line is 713-780-3776 for calls and texts. Otherwise, it's Twitch and Twitter. On Twitter, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Together, we are the Press Box on ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back on the box. Lots to get to in the final hour of the program. And, of course, we'll regurgitate the top stories from last night into today. We know the Astros won 9 in a row. We know that the Suns went up 2-0 on a phenomenal last-second play on the Clippers. We know that the Rockets have the number 2 pick in the draft. The Pistons have number 1, although they do get to keep their pick, and they did what they had to do to get what they needed. So last night after work, Nick, I go home, and I got to take the kids to gymnastics. So a couple things. So grandma goes with me. And she wants to see the kids do the gymnastics.
Yeah.
So we get to the gym, and I got a couple of issues. One, I was there for the last couple of weeks, and I realized, I mean, everything's loosening up a little bit. So I get annoyed by wearing the mask. But I didn't wear, I was there 2 weeks ago, and one of the moms was not wearing a mask. And I'm looking around, and every other parent's got a mask on. And I'm like, look, if she can do it, I want to do it too. I'm wondering how far this goes.
Yeah.
No one says a word to her the entire day. And she's yelling, and she's laughing, and she's pointing, and she's doing all these things. So I'm like, okay, cool. So we have another class for Maddie. I go back. I literally forgot it in the car because I'm unloading both kids. Get a tap on the shoulder within 45 seconds. Joel, you got a mask? Oh, yeah, I forgot it in the car. Are you guys still wearing them? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to have, we're still going to, everybody's got to wear them. Fair enough. Go get it. In that class, all the parents were wearing them, so I'm cool. Last night, grandma and I are masked up. Kids are in. Here comes the mom, along with the grandma, who every single time I walk in is not even subtle about just eyeing me up and just continuing to, like, look at me and gesture and then point it. And I'm like, what are you? And I finally looked at her and I went, what are you doing? And, it, you know, normally people are embarrassed by that and they'll kind of turn the other way. She just kind of went, and just looked back. Mom's not wearing a mask. She starts playing with Maddie. Grandma, who ain't having it.
Oh, grandma made that. She's the one. Okay.
Grandma's like, now, Joel, did you see the sign on the window? Because, it, you know, it clearly states we got to keep these masks on. And I'm like, oh, I know what she's doing. Didn't work. And no one from the gym talked to her. And I was pissed.
Is she like the owner? What's with the preferential treatment?
Just a
here?
Parent. Just a parent. But I guess it's discrimination. Moms, you're good. Dads, uh-uh.
Really?
Yeah.
Had no idea.
So I was not happy about that. Then we're watching class. And I go to grandma. I go, hey, whoa. Do you see that instructor? She just grabbed that boy by the back of the shirt and yanked him. I was like, they better not do that to Tay. And grandma's like, yeah, no, I didn't see that, but let's pay attention. So we're watching it. And then, and grandma gets stuff done now. So at the start of class, there was about, I'd say, 18 to 20 kids, only one instructor. Grandma starts getting louder with me, and we're sitting right next to each other. And she starts going, Joel, don't you think that they should have at least two instructors there? Otherwise, it might not be. I mean, there's a lot of kids here. I think before you know it, the second instructor comes running from behind us, sprints into the gym, and starts working with the kids. I was like, wow.
Wow,
that was
worked.
Impressive. She goes, what are you talking about? I go, I'm pretty sure she heard you. She goes, who? I go, I think the other instructor was behind you. She goes, no. I go, oh, yeah. She goes, you know what? If it gets the job done, it's fine.
Yeah, well,
so
she
we
didn't
start
go
watching.
Her.
And this kid that they grabbed by the shirt, I wasn't thinking about it at the time. The instructor's trying to put him against the wall in the corner. And I'm going, what is she doing? And inside that, we got all the other kids going on. So his mom shows up about midway through class. And the kid runs over, and he's not listening to anybody at this point. He just runs over to the mom. And the door opens, and the instructor comes over, and now it's all starting to make sense. The mom is standing there, and she goes, I was waiting for you to come back. So-and-so was being disruptive and spit in the face of several kids. I'm like, uh-oh, hang on, time out. Was it mine?
Oh, no.
Because that ain't flying. And now I'm watching the mom thinking she's going to be mortified. She's going to want to get involved. She goes, oh, okay. I'm like, what? And she just, and she goes, you know, so I tried to discipline him. I tried to pull him to the side. He wouldn't listen to me. And then he instructed to walk away. He insisted on him walking away from me to walk over when you walked in. Otherwise, he should already still be in timeout. She goes, oh.
See, that's why I appreciate the parent that's not embarrassed to whoop their kid's ass in public. I appreciate that parent. Beat your kid's ass in public.
I would be mortified if I was told that my kid was spitting in other kids' faces.
Oh, my God. There wouldn't be a talk with me. There would be a spanking. I'm sorry. Couldn't find a better word. I don't want nobody to get... I would punish you. There's no spitting allowed. What is this?
So, thankfully, Grandma was across the room. And so, she came back over, and I go, she goes, what was that about? I go, I'm going to tell you. But I think it's in our best interest if I tell you in a little bit. Because if I tell her right now, she's going off on that lady.
Yeah.
And she should. But I'm watching, and I'm thinking by the end of the class, the mom's going to try and apologize to the instructor and take care of business. Nope. She never said one thing to the kid, grabbed him by the hand, and they were going to go off on their merry way. I'm like, no. Time out here.
Yeah.
That's just not happening. I don't pandemic, non-pandemic.
You don't spit, period.
Yeah.
Period. You just don't do that.
And you teach your kid a lesson.
Yeah. I would, too.
Oh, I
would whoop
hot.
That kid's ass.
I was hot.
God, that's
you
terrible.
Can't be whooping a kid's ass that's, like, six.
Yeah,
but
you can. I mean, you can't like, what are you allowed to do, like, in terms of punishment that doesn't get you thrown in jail? Like, you can spank them, right?
You have a stern
talking. You can't leave no bruise or anything.
First of all, if I'm the instructor, I'm saying, you know what? We don't want you back. If you are apologetic, if you are deeply concerned about what's happened, good. Then I'll give you another chance.
Right.
But if you don't even react and just go, I'm sorry, but I've got a lot of other kids that are paying money to be here. I'm going to have to tell you not to come back.
Yeah. I'm okay with just making a public scene at that point if I'm the parent or I'm the mom. But look, that's these masks, it's weird how they enforce the rules. I mean, my only little mask story is when I went to the liquor store, I went in there and I had it in my pocket and the person that went in front of me didn't have it. So I was like, whatever. So I just walked in, but there was a third person and he had the mask, and then he calls me out in front of like the employees, and the employees kind of had to explain to him, look, by the way, he doesn't have to wear a mask anymore. I wore it just because I like the employees. I just wore it. I'm like, here you go. Is this bothering you? So I wore it.
Yeah,
but
I'm
it's just unbelievable who wants to be the police and who doesn't.
Right. I'm fine if someone asks me if you have one or if you could put – that's fine, okay? Because right. Everybody's got a different level of concern. Even at the gym, it used to be that at the front desk they were checking everybody. They're not checking anybody anymore. And I'm assuming most people got a grasp on what they need to do, so fine.
Yeah.
But, like, in this situation – I'm going, and someone got funny here just on text message and said, what if it was Jake? Well, then there would be some serious.
Then you'd beat his ass.
Yeah. Well, then I had it. Then when I would have a built-in excuse. Taylor, you no longer can associate and play with Jake. That's it. It's over.
That would end the situation.
End it. That's fine. So actually, if it was Jake, it would have been better for me because now I would be more deeply involved because I had a deeper meaning into why I was doing it.
Right.
Now I'm keeping your horny little child away from my daughter. That's what I'm doing.
Now everybody in the chat's like, oh, I used to get the black belt. I used to get this. I'll whip my kid's
ass.
Times
are different, man.
Times are different, but I'm okay with as long as there's no bruising or bones breaking or anything, I'm okay with the old-fashioned spanking. There's nothing wrong with it, man.
But, Nick, you know what? When I say times are different, because we got it. We got the wooden spoon. I got the wooden paddle in
elementary school.
No doubt. But here's the thing. Now you got all these... As we've talked about, media outlets in everybody's phone and everybody's pocket, you're okay with spanking your own child. Someone's not going to be okay watching you do it or seeing you do it, and they're going to report you.
Do it in the bathroom.
And then you're going to have Child Protective Services on your doorstep.
Excuse me, my son had an accident. We're going to... Excuse me.
Yeah, if you do it in private...
Whoop that ass.
Yep.
But you're right. People will love to take, you know... That's child abuse... And they'll get their phone and they'll start recording and
like I remember back in the day when I was growing up, my mom saw a parent hit their child with a hairbrush on the butt and wasn't having it. And she got into it. And nowadays she would get shot. But she went right to the guy.
You're not okay with the hairbrush?
No.
On the butt?
No, man. The way the guy was grown-ass man winding up and hitting.
He wound up.
Yeah, on a toddler.
Oh yeah, that's way too much.
But nowadays everything's under scrutiny, and you're going to get reported if you do it in public. But, man, get control of your kids, parents. That's the moral of the story. It's never okay for your child to be spitting in other kids' faces, and you got to wonder where they got it from.
That kid that spat on the fan that spat on Trey Young. It was that guy's son or daughter or whoever it was. That's who it was.
I can make a comment, but I won't.
Make a comment.
Nope. Two in the books, one to go. 60 minutes of the show left as we come back on the final hour of the Press Box. Coming up next on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.